They're great, aren't they? Such a sweet spirit, you know. I'll tell you, it's funny, Abby, every time she sees me, and this was years ago, but I used to have this spiky hair, and she always says, I missed your spiky hair. So maybe one of these days, Abby, I'm going to grow back my spiky hair just for you. But I was reminded by a story this morning as we were looking at this message and thinking about how God uses, he uses a Down syndrome child to bless other people. He uses people from all kinds of different backgrounds, all kinds of different struggles to bring glory to himself. And there was this little boy once, and he came up to his mother, and he said, "Mom, I'm 8 feet tall." And she says, what do you mean you're 8 foot tall? And he says, "I'm 8 foot tall." And he says, "Look," and he had a 6 foot ruler. And he was showing her, you know, eight of those equal 8 feet tall. And you see, the problem with many of us is we're measuring ourselves against the wrong standard. And how we can get very veered off course is by measuring ourselves against the wrong standard. And that's why it's so important. It's so important for us to measure ourselves against God's word. It's because he created us. He knows you more than you know yourself. He believes in you more than you believe in yourself. And he knows your limitations, and he knows how far you can go. So we measure ourselves against others. We measure ourselves against our culture. We measure ourselves against bad information. And we find ourselves every day sort of pressured into conforming to the patterns of this world. But God's word in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to not be conformed by the patterns of this world, by the measuring tools of this world, by the standards of this world, but to believe what God says about you, that you are who he says you are. You're not even who you say you are. You're who he says you are. This is what I've had to learn the hard way myself, because I mention this a lot. I tend to beat myself up a lot and tear myself down a lot, and I've had to align my thinking with God's word and what he says about me. Amen? So, but scripture commands us to not conform, but to be transformed. And listen, some people will never get it. They'll do their time on planet Earth as though they're serving a life sentence here on Earth, right? As though they're serving a prison sentence. They'll sort of do their time on planet Earth. They'll spend their hours and their days and their weeks consumed with frivolous things. You don't want to be like that, y'all. You don't want to be like that. And they'll pour themselves into things that will not make a difference to anything. And I know that I did that. And so they'll find themselves following the crowd, and they'll conform to the same systems of the world, and they'll find themselves being very disappointed and feeling very empty. And that's one of the things I've noticed about our culture today, is it seems so empty. And God wants to fill that void, that emptiness. And he wants to give you life. And so they live their lives sort of conforming to the world. They live with low energy, low impact on life. They'll die eventually in some nursing home, eating pudding and watching the Andy Griffith reruns over and over again. Is that how y'all want to live? Is that how you want to go out? I told you last week, I want to go out. I want to be attacked by a lion. You know, that's how I want to go out. You might see that in the newspaper one day. Pastor attacked by a lion. But listen, I want to gather this church together, to group up our people, to group up our men, and storm the gates of hell. And I want to be the people that God has called us to be. We have not lost our fight. We have so much more ahead of us. Our time is limited, and there's no reason for us to feel like we were made for the mundane, because we were made for more. Amen? And so, but why have so many people seem to lose their fight? Because they've lost their way. They've lost their purpose. They've lost their meaning. They don't understand why they're here. These important questions are never getting answered, and they're going on and on without answering the most important questions of life. Why am I here? Who made me? Where am I going? What am I made to do? And we want to answer those questions for you here today. Not really, not us, but God's Word. And God's Word is full of answers to those important questions. And so I want to be a part of the solution, amen? And I want this church to be a part of the solution, because he has answers to these questions. And here at Bear Creek, we're determined to believe in you, to believe in the giftings that God has planted in your life, to believe in your family, and no matter how many times you fall, to be able to say to you, God's mercies are new every day, and he will take you to so much further. And look, we all stumble on this road to recovery, right? We all stumble on this road. And we're going to keep believing in you. And you'll keep coming here, and you'll keep getting filled up. Filled up with what? Filled up with the love of God, the joy of the Lord, the Spirit of God. You will be empowered by him, and you will live a life with purpose and meaning. And so through this message series, God has given me a word, a vision for our church, and a mission for this church, to move you from where you are to where you've been to where he wants to take you. And he has given you, and he's blessed you, and we found this out last week, that God created us. And it's funny, because I didn't tell them what scriptures I shared last week, and isn't it kind of cool? They both shared a passage from last week. Genesis, we are created in the image of God, right? We're created in the image of God. We're human. And God created these humans, created in the image of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means this. You know, why do we create statues? We create statues to represent the original, right? And to bring honor to the original. So he creates these images. He creates you in the image of God, that you can give honor to the original. And then he splits this human being into two sexes, two genders, male and female. Why? So we got to keep asking the questions, why? What is the purpose for human beings? What's the purpose for a man? What's the purpose of life for a woman? What has God called us to? Obviously, men cannot bear children, right? And so we start to find these purposes, and God begins to speak and say, this is why I made a man. He's uniquely different than a woman. And this is why I made a woman. She's uniquely different than a man. And then, so then, not only did he split the human being into two genders, but he's also given us a uniqueness. He's given us, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. He knit you in your mother's womb, right? And so today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. How much time do we have left? We have 5 minutes. Okay, I've got 30 minutes. Give me about 10 minutes, okay? I'm going to read this passage today. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven and what the kingdom of heaven is like. And really, in fact, what he's talking about really is what kingdom people are like. What kingdom people are like. And he says this, starting in chapter 25, verse 14. For it will be like, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, right? It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2, and to another, 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away, he who had received the 5 talents, and went at once and traded them and made 5 talents more. So this one who had 5 talents made 5 talents more. So also the one who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and here I have made 5 talents more. Look at verse 21. His master said to him, Well, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Look at verse 22. And he also had the man with 2 talents came forward and saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. And he also had received the 1 talent, came forward and saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, in that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we find here, he talks about this master who's going on this long journey and the servants that he leaves behind with these talents, with this money, right? And he expects them to manage these talents. There's an expectation, isn't there? And so what's happening here is the master in the story is God, and the servants are God's people, right? Are you picking up on this? The servants are God's people. The servants are us. So the master, he handed out different talents in different measurements. Maybe it was based on how much he trusted them. He says that it was based on their ability. So maybe he was trying to see who was going to be faithful, but here's what a talent is. In the Bible, a talent is a measure of weight, okay? It's a measurement of weight. And Jesus's parable here, he was clearly using this word talent as a metaphor to refer to anything that God has entrusted to us. And so God is entrusting something of value to these servants. Okay, some gets more, some get more, others don't, right? Have you noticed that about your own life? As we look around, and I'll tell you, it drives me crazy sometimes. I'll say, that guy's so talented, he's so smart, I wish I could read like him, and I wish I could be like him. I wish I had his intelligence, I wish I had her abilities, I wish I had this person's creativity, I wish I could preach like this guy over there. And so I have all these longings as I look at other people and the giftings and the talents that God has given to other people. And I find myself feeling more and more useless as I'm looking at the talents of others, because I'm saying to myself, you know, God, you've given them so much and you've given me so little. Y'all ever been in this position? Am I the only one in here that has done this before? Okay, so I find myself doing that. And Jesus is telling us here that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what kingdom people are like. See, Jesus is the master in the story, who goes on this long journey, and he leaves behind these servants, and he gives each of these servants a measure, and he expects something from them. And so you're going to see this on the screen. God has a vested interest, number one, in your talents. He has a vested interest. He has given you abilities. And next week, we're going to talk about spiritual giftings for that every believer in this room. If you have a faith in Christ, every believer in this room has spiritual gifts. But today, as we talk about the talents, I want you to think about your natural talents, your natural abilities, the things that God has given to you, your personality, the things that you kind of are drawn towards, the things that kind of is in your wheelhouse, the thing that your sweet spot, right? The things that you know you're good at. Because if you're like me, you might be focusing so much on your weaknesses and trying to fix all those instead of doing what God's called you to do, and then that is paying attention more to your abilities and your giftings. And so God has a vested interest in your talents. God gives each of us a measure of talent, believe it or not. He gives each of us a measure of talent. Look what he did in chapter 25, verse 14, or actually 15. Gave five talents to one, gave two to another, gave one to another. He's taking something of value and giving it to these servants, and he's expecting something. He's expecting a rate of return. He's expecting a return on his investment. And then number two, God has a vested interest not only in our talent, but he also has a vested interest in your stewardship. God expects us to be good stewards of the talents that he has given. That means good managers. A steward is a manager. It's a caretaker. Right? And I want you to think back, because we talked about this verse last week in Genesis, where God, he creates us in the image of God. We're created in the image of God, male and female. And it says to subdue the earth, right? And have dominion over the animals. What that means is we are to have control. We are to manage things on this earth. That's what God has called us to do. He didn't call the monkeys to do it. He didn't call the giraffes to do it, okay? He called us to do it. And we're to be stewards of this earth. We are to be stewards of our life. And listen, we are to be stewards of our giftings, managers of our giftings, stewards. We are not to see ourselves as owners of anything, ever. The moment you start to think that this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, that's the moment you start slipping away from the attitude that God wants you to have about your possessions and your giftings. You are not an owner. He is the owner of all things. He is the creator of all things. All we do is scoop up the stuff that he's created and try to form things, right? And try to make things like vehicles and buildings and speakers and amps and guitars and, right? We just scoop up things from everything that he's created and we try to shape them into different things. We are stewards. We're stewards of our time. We're stewards of our talents. We're stewards of our treasures. So let me ask you to stop here just for a minute. How are you stewarding your time and your talents and your treasures? Are you stewarding them for the glory of God? Are you stewarding them? Are you being a good steward? And I'm not saying that these gifts that he's given you, that you just need to be in full-time ministry, in vocational ministry. Yes, you need to be in full-time ministry. That's being a light for Christ in your workplace. How are you doing that? Are you stewarding your time, your talents, your treasures? And God has let me say this. Again, I spent years using my abilities to build my own kingdom. And, I've realized as I'm going through these giftings and different things and trying to realize, just figure out who I am, I realize I'm a visionary. I've kind of have an entrepreneurial spirit. And so when I was younger, I just wanted to make a lot of money. I wanted to have that Porsche that I used to play with when I was a kid, that little car, I wanted to have a real one. I wanted to have a Porsche 911 turbo. Why? I have no idea, just for the glory of it all, right? And then I wanted to have a big house on a ranch, and I wanted all these things. And look, there's nothing wrong with all those things. But the purpose and the meaning behind it was for self-gain and self-glory. And it's wrong. And I want to show you some things just as we close out. I've got so much to say, but I'm just going to close it out, okay? I want to show you something. I want you to go back into this verse in Matthew chapter 25. So he gives out these talents. And when the guy of five and the guy of two comes and they say, look, we've doubled what you've given to us. He looks at them and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, God, what he's looking for is he's looking for faithful servants, faithful stewards of the things that he's blessed you with. It's his stuff and you're the manager. It's his stuff and you're the steward. And so this is what he's looking for. And he says, well done. You want God to look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been good. You have been faithful with the things that I've blessed you with. Look what he says. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. In other words, I will bless you. I will bless you. And I will give you much and set you over much. Because you have been faithful, you have been a steward of these talents that I have given you. But then I want you to look what he says here. He says, I will set you over much. And then he says this, enter into the joy of your master. Here's what I get from that. That when we are taking our talents and we're saying, this is all for you, Lord. You've given this to me. I have a purpose and I have meaning here on earth, and I will use these for your glory, no matter what that looks like. I have a friend of mine. He's adopted two children with no arms and no legs from China. They have no arms and no legs. Both of them do. And they're doing all these amazing things, these kids, okay? God can use them, right? So don't think you're deficient. He can use your weaknesses to bring glory to himself, and he does all the time. You just got to get real, right, and open about this. He's given you talents. He expects us to be good stewards. And then here's another thing is when we talk about God has a vested interest not only in our talents, but he has a vested interest in your joy. He has a vested interest in your joy. As a matter of fact, it is his plan that you'll reach a place of joy with how you invest yourself and how you give of yourself and how you steward your gifts, no matter where you are, okay? If you're here today, he's not done with you yet. I don't care if you're 100 years old. He's not done with you yet. And so how you're stewarding it. And so we find out here that he wants us to have joy. Enter into the joy of your master. In other words, I know what you long for. You long to reach this place of joy. And so now that you're doing it, now that you're stewarding the talents that I gave you, I want you to enter in to the joy of your master, the joy that I plan for you to have. Let's pray. Father, thank you. How you gifted us. How you've given us these talents, Lord. May we use them according to your word. According to your word. According to your word. According to your word. And may we steward and manage this life, this limited life that you've given us. These limited days that we have left, these limited hours that we have left on this earth, may we steward them for your glory, Lord. May we make an impact on this world for the sake of the future of our children, for those who come behind us. May they all come to understand who Jesus is, the powerful work of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.